No fight. It's the theme song.
All right, we're back. Another live episode of Castle Comms. I think this is the second live episode I've done solo. Usually don't do these because it's kind of weird not having a guest with me. But anyways, it bit nobody. A lot of stuff's been going on in my personal life, so I figured, yeah, just talk about it, talk about the show, talk about things that are going on with said show and all that fun stuff. So, for those of you, I'm going to dox myself. For those of you who don't know, I live in Santa Cruz, California, which is currently going through two tropical storms known as the Pineapple Express. It's kind of a stupid name for two storms back-to-back, but they're tropical, so they figured it'd be fun. So, over this course of these storms, we've had problems with the electrical. We've had all sorts of shit happen in the hometown, like water fell into the ocean, cement boat got detached, downtown Capitol is completely fucked up. Like, the ocean came over the barrier, hit a few stores, went to the streets, debris all over the place. Main beach, you know, with the boardwalk and all that shit, that place got ravaged too. It's just everywhere. Highway 17, the highway I drive constantly for work, it's flooded. The other day for work, I had to drive through flooding. So it's like, you know, it's been a weird mixture of like personal life getting fucked up, work life getting fucked up. My wife got hurt at work. She fell. She's pregnant. So she had to go to the hospital. It was a big thing to make sure everything's cool with the baby. But thankfully, after ultrasounds, blood work, whole nine yards, everything's fine. Kid's fine. Wife's fine. Nobody's gotten anything seriously, you know, nothing is wrong with anybody. Everything's good. I took an ultrasound of the baby. The baby's in there stretching, having a good old time. My wife's good, minus the whole, you know, being uncomfortable because being pregnant looks fucking miserable. Like, I've never held a kid, but you know, it just, it looks bad. She's over here dealing with like weird sensations of like can't drink water. Like, she has to drink a certain bottle of water because every other type of water gives her, like, indigestion and she gets, like, sick. Like, today I made a sandwich and I put fucking Kinder's barbecue sauce on it and she got the smell hit her in the face and she felt like she was gonna fucking puke. So, just the whole pregnancy thing is kind of weird from a standby of what makes you feel like shit, what doesn't make you feel like shit. Speaking of, like, shit, I see my green screen's kind of, for some reason, popping on that. I have some weird, oh, that's because of this. Ah, who cares? It's one of those things, right? I was just dealing with a lot. And then the house almost burning down because the electrical was done in a shitty manner. So when they had the big storm, power fucking, a tree branch apparently hit the fucking line and it was surging the power coming to the house. All my surge protectors melted. The house smelled like burning, like something was burning. So the electrician came out here. He found the problem. It's going to be an expensive fix, but I'd rather have that than, you know, no house. And then, to top cherry on the cake, I got a letter from the IRS. We mailed our taxes last year. They never cashed the check. They're saying they never got it. So, you know, paying for last year's taxes on top of what's going to be owed this year is super fun. So that's another big hit. So, you know, it's been a series of down endings, kind of shitty on this end. And then I had a really cool interview planned for the end of the month. It was actually going to be one I was really looking forward to. For those of you who probably know, I sent out a request to interview video to Aqua and he said yes, and we were working on a time. We were gonna get it on for this month, but you know, shit just didn't work out, so we're gonna have to plan later in the year. So it's not a big deal, you know, it's like, it's a bummer of course, but who gives a shit? I mean, what's gonna happen? Just gotta be patient. Other than that, you know, hasn't been too bad. It's actually been, you know, stormy still. Things are starting to look up a little bit, but for those of you, I got a lot of people reaching out making sure I'm okay, because you know, kind of sad tweets, kind of not the happiest tweets and situations. Look, but yeah, it's thank people who reached out, like Toadster Tweets, Content Ent, Peepaw. You know, it's always nice when you have people who see the stuff you post and just reach out to make sure you're okay, because you never know when somebody's not doing okay. So speaking of not doing okay, since we're on the topic of people going through a hard time, just because somebody doesn't show, like, you know, The telltale signs of depression doesn't mean they're not depressed. I know when you go through the military, they give you like those fucking PowerPoints where you like know things to look at. You look for people who are looking down at the ground. You're looking for people who are like mopey. You're looking for people that are like giving away possessions, like, you know, things like that. And it's just like when you're trained to identify things one way, and everybody has the same, like, you know, like, toolkit of here's what to look for when somebody's not doing okay. It's very easy for people to slip through the cracks of that. So it's one of those things where you just never know how somebody handles being depressed or how somebody handles being in a down, like, time. So if you're not sure, you know, if someone seems like they're going through it, doesn't hurt to see if they're okay. Like, what's the worst thing you're gonna say? Fuck off? It's like, I'd rather have my friend tell me to fuck off than, you know, to have to deal with, like, oh, so-and-so did something, you know? I'm not gonna get into all that because of terms of service, but it's always better to reach out because you never know. So, military story that ties into that. After Iraq, in the reserves, they do this thing. I keep looking up to my side because I have my other monitor right here, and I have other people up, so I'm seeing who's online. So, after Iraq, we got to go to Germany for decompression. It was really cool. That's the nice thing the reserves do, is after you've deployed, they send you there to make sure everything's good. It's kind of a filtering process because, one, you get to unwind a little bit. You get to hang out with your people you went through all that shit with in a non-threatening scene, but also you get to incorporate other people from other theaters. So I was there, and there was a guy, I think he was deployed to Afghanistan. I'm not 100% sure. I know he was a secret squirrel type, meaning, you know, they kept him in a room and he had access to like the worst of the worst information, all intelligence wise and whatnot. So this guy seems like he was doing good. Like, he never gave up any signs of like looking sad or depressed or anything like that. At least not the signs that they teach you to look for when you go through military, like, you know, oh, this is what to look for kind of shit. And this dude just seemed like a normal guy. It's kind of like how the murderer I met in boot camp seemed like a normal guy too. This guy was a funny dude. He was normal. We were all at the bar drinking, having a good time. There was a bar on base at the, I don't know, what was it, Kaiserslautern or Longstuhl? Well, something in that area. I don't remember like the exact name of it. I just know that it was like Rammstein adjacent. But anyway, the bar there had this guy who was a military dude who became a bartender at this base, and his like famous drink was called a Dark Side, like Dark Side of the Moon. It was like a Long Island iced tea, but with only dark alcohol. So I drank to my heart's content that night. I was having kind of a shitty time, not from like deployment trauma and all that. I was just fucking over all the people where I was with, and I was having kind of a shitty time dealing with all the shit I had to deal with. So I drank a few of these, and I was feeling really fucked up. And I was leaving the bar. It was snowing, it was cold, it was icy, and I was thinking, oh, I'm gonna light a cigarette, warm myself up on the walk back. So I pull a cigarette out, I'm like trying to light it, and then like I hear a noise from my direct left, and I look to my left, and there's this dude just fucking standing on the other side of this like balcony thing, and he's like looking like he's about to jump off like three stories onto like pure pavement. And he's just like, hey man, can I have a cigarette? It's just like I was drunk as shit, and I was just like, you know, and something hits you like that, and you like sober up instantly, and you're like, holy fuck, is this guy trying to kill himself? So I like, you know, I take a cigarette. I was like, yeah, dude, if you come from that side, I'll give you one. So he like, you know, he stepped over that side, and then he came over, and we sat down trying to light a cigarette. My lighter was fucking, it wasn't working. I think it was wet or something. I couldn't get it to light. So I was like, here, I'm gonna give you my pack. Let me run to my room, and I'll be right back. Don't do anything stupid. She's like, yeah, dude, I won't do anything. So I run to my room. I fucking haul ass to my room. I come back, and he's over there on this patio, just like throwing the furniture all over the place, like kicking the tables, throwing the chairs, just doing crazy shit. It's just like, bro, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I'm happy you're destroying like property as opposed to like hurting yourself. But it was definitely like a what the actual fuck is going on with this guy? And then as he's doing this, I see the chief who's like in charge of all this coming up, and he's like yelling, he's like screaming at this dude, like, what are you yelling at? So I run up, I fucking get in front between him and the chief, like, chief, I'm taking care of this, please let me handle this. The last thing this guy needs is to get in trouble and to get yelled at. And the chief kind of looks at me, and he doesn't really quite understand. So he's like sitting there, and then the MAs show up, which is like the military police for the Navy. They show up, and this guy's sitting down, he's got an MA on each side. He's like, chief, I need to talk to you. So the chief's there, the chaplain's there randomly, because the chaplain was just like passing by and wanted to see what the commotion was. Like, oh, perfect, chaps, come here. So I told them both what happened, and they're like, oh, and then like, I don't know what that guy dealt with. I don't know what that guy saw. He was in a completely different environment than me. I was in Iraq. He was, I think, Afghanistan. He could have been somewhere else for all I fucking know. All I know is he's a secret swirl type. I told them that, and they're like, oh, that makes sense because it was what he was doing. I was just like, I don't know what the fuck his job was. And when they said that, they meant like what he was doing in country. So it's like, I'm guessing he dealt with some heavy shit. And he, unfortunately, thought that was the best way to solve it. But, you know, thankfully, our paths crossed. It's like, you just never know. Never not seeing that dude, I would never have guessed. Maybe it was him drinking that brought that out. Alcohol is a depressant. So maybe the alcohol pushed him to that point. Maybe he was just contemplating. I don't know. All I know is the chief and the chaps talked to him. And then I think they got him the help he needs. I think he went to the hospital that night. I think he got in touch with someone that could actually help him. After that, like, you know, I saw him a few times during the decompression stage, and then he was gone. Never saw him again. I don't even remember his name. See, that was one of the times when that kind of stuff went good. I have stories where that stuff didn't go so good. I guess we might as well talk about that too. So I guess this is turning into the mental health. Like, you just never know when somebody's doing okay and not. So 2 years previous, I went to Africa. And I went to this country called Djibouti, which is very small. It's right next to Somalia. It's in the Horn of Africa. Pretty much, you can't miss it. It's really tiny, though. It's right next to Eritrea. It's a very tiny country. But I digress. I was sent there, again, with the reserve. And before that, before you get sent to these places, they send you to, like, pre-training things. So for this, they sent us to Relax in Jackson. And I forget if it's North or South Carolina. I just know it's in Carolina. So I'm in Carolina, you know, going through, like, they call it Narmy training, which is, like, Navy Army bullshit. So we were doing like army stuff. We were integrated with the army for that one. It wasn't bad. It was just, you know, just another fucking field op, another fucking day. We would spend time in like the house. I mean, like the birthing area. We'd go out, we'd do shit all day. We'd go to a classroom, we'd learn a little bit of like local speech. Like over there is like, you know, a lot of people in Africa, and that part was like, we used to be French, so we're learning like a little bit of French and a little bit of like, you know, like salam aleikum, like, you know, basic like greetings and shit like that. But there was this dude, I don't want to say his name because this story didn't end well. But so I won't say his name. I'll just use his rank. He was an AC-2, meaning he was an air traffic controller. This dude was a funny man. He had like a tattoo on his forearm of a sphinx, and he was just the silliest guy. Like, he was like a skinny dude, but not much older than me. I think he did like 2 years of active duty before transferring over to the reserve. So he was like, he was cool, and like every day I would see him, he'd be like, "What's up, killer?" Like, I was the only doc in the group, so he thought it'd be funny to call me killer. It's like, dude, it's fine. Like, my only job is to like make sure people don't die. Like, I'm not a crack shot or anything. Like, don't get it twisted. I'm not out there fucking knocking down those stupid little targets. My qual shoot, it took me like 3 times to pass that shit. So I get past the qual shoot, and he's just like, "What's up, killer?" every day, and he'd sit next to me and he'd talk to me. And he was kind of I don't want to say he was a loner, but he just didn't really get along with the group that we were, you know, getting on with. Like, he just never talked to any of them. I was thinking it was like me and like a few other people were the only people he would talk to. So it was cool, you know, little group of friends. And then when we got to country together, like, we all were there for different periods of time. I was there for like less than a year. I was like 10 months, 11 months. I think he was there for a full year plus a little bit extra. But we had different time frames where we'd work. Like, I'd work during the day, he would work during the night. So we'd randomly see each other in passing. And every time I'd see him in passing, he was super cool. Like, he'd be like, "Oh, dude, I'm doing this and that." Like, I remember the last time I saw him was at the Green Bean Coffee, which is like the name of the coffee bait, like shops on base. It's kind of like the shittier version of Starbucks for like military Starbucks. So I went in there and I saw him, and it was just like, "Hey, dude, what's up? I haven't seen you in forever." And he got like this huge smile on his face, like, "Yo, dude, what's up? I haven't seen you in forever." And like, we were catching up, and he had a learning French book. He's like, "Oh, I'm learning French. I'm like, you know, learning a new language. I'm taking college courses during my off time. There's this really cute girl in the tower." So it's just like, you know, it just seemed like he had a lot of cool stuff going for him. I mean, like, he had plans, he had things he wanted to do. And then, you know, 3 days later, he hung himself, and it was just fucked. Like, and I was kind of there when this happened. I wasn't there. I wasn't like in the room, obviously, but like part of my job working at the hospital up there is like, we do patient care And then people who work the front desk have to, like, because we would cycle out. The people who work the front desk have to, like, check the stupid computer program to see what the heat see what the heat category is. And then we'd have to get in the little gator. We'd have to drive over to the flag. We'd have to raise, like, the flag depending on the heat. If it was, like, above, like, I think it was, like, what, 99 to 100 and something, we'd have to raise the black flag, meaning that people couldn't PT for certain physical training. People couldn't PT for certain periods of time. Red flag, you could, but it was, like, limited. Like, every flag color and every heat denoted, like, what you were allowed to do on base. Mostly people didn't pay attention to that shit. They just did whatever they wanted to do anyway, but that was just part of the... So, I was out there changing the fucking flags and the gator. It was kind of fun because I got to drive a gator around base for no reason. So, I'm over there at the flag post, you know, changing the flag, and I see all these fucking cars. Like, all these fucking cars, like... around our berthing area, and we're pretty much leaving in, like, shipping containers that were, like, changed over for human dwelling. They were, like, they'd put two beds in there. It was usually two persons per a shipping container. This is before they built, like, the nice barracks. So, I'm just, you know, sitting, like, changing the flag, wondering what the fucking commotion is, because there's not a lot of shit that goes down on this base, and people are just freaking out. There's just people all over the place. I had my radio, and I heard, like, you know, they didn't know how to call it in. And I was just like, what the fuck is happening? And then they were like, should we take him to the med center? And it was just like, no, he's dead. Just take him to the morgue. And it was just like, somebody died? Like, I was super, like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. So then I went back to the hospital where I was working. You know, I changed my flag, turned the key in. I was just like, what the fuck is going on? And they're like, oh, didn't you hear? So-and-so killed himself. I'm like, what do you mean? Because I knew a lot of people in the, like, you know, in the air traffic controller scene over there because of him. So I was just like, oh, was it so-and-so? Because I thought it was another person in there who was just like, I thought that person was depressed, so I assumed it was them. I was like, was it so-and-so? Like, no, it was this guy. I was like, oh, fuck. It's one of those things where you never really prepared for that kind of stuff, even when you have an idea. So that one sucked, especially because I, like, just saw him, like, the day before. It's one of those things where, like, especially being in the military for as long as I was at that period of time, it's like, went through all this training to identify this kind of stuff, and then this dude who was super close to me, I didn't see the signs. I didn't even know if there were signs. Granted, we didn't work the same schedule at that point. Like, he was working nights, I was working days in completely different, like, workspaces. But still, it's one of those things where when you're in charge of, like, medical stuff and you take care of people medically, when you come across somebody and it goes to that point, and it's, like, something that's in your job sec, you kind of feel shitty. Like, why didn't I catch that? Why didn't I see that? And it's just, like, there was nothing to catch. There was nothing to see. Like, looking back on it, because trust me, I've driven myself crazy if I missed anything. I definitely didn't. I'm using Red Star from Tarkov. It makes me feel like shit when I do it. Like, in the game, when you use Red Star on your lips or whatever, your person gets all, like, fucking tremory and wobbly. It's just this weird, like... it's weird flavor. It's like, it's like flowery. Nah, it's not bad. It's just weird. I don't know if I like it. But anyway, continuing on with Africa, because there is a funny story that comes from there. So at that base, we have all sorts of weird stuff that comes through, like mostly MWR stuff, meaning like shows, acts. We have, like, right, like the Carolina Panthers cheerleaders came out and they, like, you know, for the troops. Like, we have weird USO shows that come through. And one of them was a celebrity chef from Food Network. Tall English dude, super buff. What the fuck's his name? I'm gonna look it up. Food Network, buff, English chef. What's his fuck? Oh, there he is. What's his fucking, Robert England? Yeah, this guy. Robert England. So, is it Robert England? What the fuck's his name? Robert Irvine. So, Robert Irvine came to base to, like, make something. It was one of those things where he was going to do, like, a live show for, like, the troops or whatever. He was going to, like, make food for them, and then he was going to, like, work in the galley and make food for everybody, and we're going to eat that for chow. Sounds great, right? Well, this dude refused to stay on base. He, like, he wanted to stay at the really nice, like, local hotel right off the thing. But to get to him, we'd all have to, like, well, I didn't have to, but the army component would have to convoy out there, pick him up, drive him back. Because, like, even though it's, like, a regular, like, city, it's not a safe area. There's apparently, there was at the time, was a lot of like bad stuff going on around there. But he was like, I don't want to stay on base. The conditions are not to my quality. But then when he would come on base, he would have like the camera crew follow him around like, I'm working out with the troops. And I'm with the troops. And he would do this like whole spiel. Like, I give a shit about the troops. I do this with this and that with the troops. And I saw him one day. I went to that Green Bean Coffee, and this was right after my friend died. And he was just sitting there. And I, like, opened the door, and he was, like, reading a newspaper. I couldn't see his face. And then when I walked in, he, like, lowered it. And he was just, like, showed his face to me. And I was just, like, I knew who he was. I was just, like, yeah, fuck, I'm just here to get coffee. And I just walked right past him, and he was just, like, he was, like, weirded out that I didn't recognize him or acknowledge who the fuck he was. So I get my coffee, and then on my way out, he does that shit again. It's just like, lowers his paper and looks at me like, oh, would you know who I am? And it's just like, on my way out, I was like, I don't give a fuck, dude. I had to say, I don't give a fuck who you are. I'm just trying to get my coffee, dude. And he looks, he got all like flustered about that. So Robert Irvine, you're a bitch. I want to look like I'm one with the troops. I want to look like I'm working out with the troops. I want to look like I'm doing this, this, or that. But, I don't want. I don't want to be in the same place as them. I know this is kind of weird. You have a weird back job because I have, maybe if I move this over, it'll be a little bit better. I was like, oh, hey, there's a little bit of a shadow. I don't know. I don't usually do the live shows, so it's not a well-oiled machine over here. It's kind of a clusterfuck. Please, I apologize for the clusterfuck. But, you know, don't mind this. This is just my fucking, my build order for AOE. I have it on a notepad. I'm just going to blow this up. So that way there's a little bit more light coming through. So that way it's, oh, actually looks horrible. That actually looks worse than before. God damn, this green screen is annoying to work with. I'm still figuring it out. It's one of those things where I'll probably never figure it out. By the time I figure out how to make this shit work, I'll probably be done with all this shit. I'll probably be like, yeah, I'm done doing Castle Comms. Yeah, I'm done streaming. Or I'm done doing all this random shit that, you know, it's fun for me. I have a good time doing it. But there's no guarantee that just because I enjoy doing something, other people are going to enjoy doing something. And that's when it gets to the point where it's just like, once it stops being fun for you and you're the one doing it, what's the point of continuing? So it's like, and if I didn't find joy in podcasting, I wouldn't do it. I'm gonna move this back here. I don't give a fuck if there's a little bit of a ooh. It's just more, this is easier. I like to look at myself when I'm talking. I like to look at somebody when I'm talking to them. That's the biggest problem I have with streaming, is because it's just a fucking chat wall, and it's like, I have no idea what I'm talking to or who I'm talking to. It's just weird. Like, good example, I was streaming Project Zomboid the other day, and this guy comes in and he claims he's a 13-year-old kid who's autistic from Canada, and he wants to, you know, he wants to jump on a call with me. Wants to talk on Discord about his life. And it's just like, I had to explain. It was like, I don't know who you are. It's like, as much as I like to talk to people, I'm not going to bring in random people when I'm streaming, because one, I don't know if you're a troll who's just going to come in here and like spam the N-word and, you know, get me like taken off my platform of being on Twitch. Ooh, I know, big fucking, I spend so much time on it because I clearly don't even know how to work my own green screen. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know if he's telling the truth. And if he is telling the truth, it's just like, my content is not really made for an 18-year-old. I mean, not really made for a 13-year-old, especially one who's autistic. So it's like, how do I, like, you know, edit myself if this is this guy telling the truth? I don't know. The way he was talking earlier in the thing made him seem like a complete troll. He was asking some pretty weird questions that he kept begging me to make an RP server. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know too many 13-year-olds who are into Project Zomboid either. It doesn't seem like the kind of game that, like, brings in the youth. I mean, it's not like a big flashy game like a Battle Royale or a Fortnite or a Valorant with all the colors. For all I know, this kid's just an amazing, like, Project Zomboid player. Fuck if I know. I know I'm not. I have a few hundred hours in that game, and I still feel like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, you go in there with a game plan, and then you leave, and you just feel like a complete fucking asshole. So, that's just life, I guess. I kind of feel the same way about podcasting. Like, good example, the other day, I was on a fucking, you know, I was playing Project Zomboid, and somebody comes in there. I think they're cool. Like, they're talking, and then they try to sell me emotes. But before they sell me emotes, they're like, oh, can I do art for your show? After I say no to the emote thing, because I don't use my emotes. I already had them done. I think they look fine. So after I deny find this person and say, no, I'm not interested in buying emotes. They're like, oh, your show. Can I do art for your show? And it's just like, you talked to me for literally 30 minutes just to try to sell me something. Like, I feel kind of, thought I was making a friend here. Thought I was building a community member. No, just somebody is just trying to use me as a means to an end. But that's okay. That's okay. So they hit me up and they try to do this. They want to do stuff for the show. And they're like, oh, you've done 70 something episodes. You're a professional. I'm just like, absolutely not. Just because you've been doing something, just because I fumbled, fucked my way through 70 plus episodes does not mean I am a professional in this or any other field. Don't get it twisted. Like, there are people who stream for thousands of hours who still are not comfortable with it. There are people who do things for all sorts of periods of time. Like, I know someone who's played Dota for like, what was it, like 3,000 hours, and even he's like, I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing in Dota. So just because you have a certain amount of time in something doesn't mean you're an expert. And when it comes to podcasting is one of those things where it's a lot easier with a guest, like, or with more multiple hosts. Like, when you're doing that shit by yourself and you're shouldering the load like you are right now, it's not as fun. This kind of sucks. This is kind of... It's like I have no one to bounce off of. I just have to reach into the recesses of my brain, which I usually don't have to tap into. So that's kind of an annoyance. It's like I get people who like compare my show, like, oh, it's not like fucking, you know, the gamer hole. Oh, it's not Forehead Fables. Oh, it's not Fraggin' Laggin'. It's like, of course it's not those things. It's completely different setup. It's like I had the Squabbleheads on recently, which is a very good example of what I mean by the show is completely different. The Squabbleheads, for those of you who don't know, four guys. You got Tryhard, Mossum, Beard, and now THC, who's the new Squabblehead. And those guys, they are off the wall with their shit. They just riff. They riff. They talk about real shit on occasion, but when you get them on a tangent, those boys will just go and go and go and go. And having them on the show is like, oh, it's just ride the lightning. You know, you just see where it goes. They give you a joke, you run with it. You give them a joke, they run with it. It's cool to have guys that are that seamless with that approach. Whereas the previous episode, I had a one-on-one with Peepaw. Or Here Comes Peepaw on his stream. Good guy. Awesome dude. Funny conversation. Former Marine. I know, once a Marine, always a Marine. But you know what I mean. He used to be in the Marine Corps. Now he's a civilian working. You know, he's a streamer. He's a 9-to-5-er. If you want to call that somebody with a normal job a 9-to-5-er. Yeah, he's just, you know, getting to talk to him about everything all the way from, like, doing math to getting hand jobs. It was a fun conversation. So going from an environment like that to, like, you know, a four-guest scenario, it's really cool about this particular show because I try to do the one-on-one feel. I try to make people feel as comfortable as possible. That's why when I have a guest, I don't have live episodes. This is, in fact, only the second live episode I've done because I find it uncomfortable for myself, let alone having a guest on here. No video component, so people's rooms can be as fucking filthy as they want to be. I share this room with my wife. My kid's constantly in here. So this room has definitely seen better days. So, you know, not having my room on film all the time definitely helps with, you know, the comfort of being able to have a conversation. So you can see a little bit of the filth on this side. You can see the cabinet. You can see things are not, like, you know, shit needs to be put away. But I'm a busy guy and I'm lazy. So what are you going to do? So when you have environments, where you have multiple hosts, that dynamic is set in every single time. Like Gamer Hole, Forehead Fables, fucking Fraggin' and Laggin'. When next time they put out an episode, I think they might even be done. They haven't put one out since last December. So those guys, you know, sets of 2, 4, and 3, when it comes to hosting, they can riff off each other. If the guest is on there, they don't even have to interact with the guest, as we've seen in Forehead Fables. Like, if you're not a fan of the guest, or if the guest is just quiet, like, you can just, it's like they're not even there. But in a one-on-one environment, you kind of have to rely on the guest, because what am I going to do? Am I going to step over the only other person on the show with me? That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. That's not exactly doable. It'd be kind of a rude thing to do. Invite somebody on and just completely ignore them and just have a fucking one-on-one monologue with me and the guest. I mean, with me and the viewer or listener, whatever the fuck you want to call them. So it's not really doable. So that's one of the things I also like about the one-on-one atmosphere, is the people you invite on your show, they are the star of the show. I'm just the person who directs the conversation, and it goes where it goes. Like, I know last season, I'm going to call it every year, I like do the show as a season. So year one was a very small season because we started in September. Year two was our first full year. we actually had a really, really solid year. We did really well. Numbers, I think we have 26 countries that listen, which is pretty sick. And on a regular basis, too. Like, some of them are just one and nuns, but it feels like the other ones are pretty good, judging off the numbers. I mean, if Anchor can be trusted. So it's cool to see that it's building up. This next year, I want it to be more freeform. The previous year, I spent a lot of time in the Tarkov community, and I kind of want to move away from that. Like, Tarkov's cool, but I mean, it's such a small, like, pool of people. There's so many other people in the gaming scene, in the competitive scene, whether it comes to, like, other things like CSGO, Valorant. Like, there's a lot of games out there. Like, why am I going to limit myself to Tarkov? Even though Tarkov is going to be getting Arena in one of these days, there's a really nice competitive component to it. The game itself is challenging and frustrating. But the community is so hard to unite on so many fronts. And right now, it just feels like there's a lot of drama going on with them over certain aspects I won't talk about here. So, you know, maybe it's time to move away from the Tarkov community for a little bit. You know, have a Tarkov person here and there, but maybe it's time to move away from them because it just seems like the Tarkov community, there's always just one drama after the next. It's kind of weird, too, because people who are on the outside looking in who don't know a whole lot about, like, you know, the Twitter drama and all that other stuff, they just have this weird implication that the Tarkov community is toxic. Like, my coworker, he loves gaming. Never got into Tarkov, though. And I was asking him, I was like, why don't you play Tarkov? He's just like, oh, I really wanted to this swipe. I was thinking about buying it, but it's like, you know, I'm on Twitter, and it just seems like all those guys do is shit on each other. He has this misconception that the Tarkov community is just toxic as a whole because of the bullshit going on when it comes to, like, you know, the drama. And I was just telling him, like, you know, it's not all like that. It's just a few individuals after a few guys who are apparently potentially cheating and some other stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, what's the point? I don't want to get involved with that. What's, like, if I kill somebody and they can report me to DSG because they think I'm a cheater and there's no playback option, like, why would they ever take my word over that streamer like we saw in the current situation? And it's just, it sucks when somebody who could be a potential person who would play that game, enjoy that game, spend money on that game, help grow the company that the game is produced by, BSG, it sucks when you see somebody like that who is turned away because of something that a community member has said and or done. And I can't defend it. I wasn't there. I don't know the whole fucking story. It took me a while to even figure out who the fuck he was talking about because I try not to follow it. So after I found it, I was just like, oh, I kind of see his point. But who knows? Maybe we'll all get lucky. Maybe that one magazine that came out that claimed that 2023 is the year of RTSs, maybe we'll get lucky and this will actually be the year of fucking RTSs, because I haven't played an RTS game that's made me happy in a long time other than AoE 2. The thing that sucks about AoE 2 is it's such a short fucking ride because people have been playing that game for 20 years. Feels like every time I play ranked, it's against somebody who's got like 2,000 games under their belt. There's 1,600 games under their belt, and it's like, well, fuck, this is my game 6. Like, there's no way I'm prepared to deal with this guy. Like, oh yeah, you can beat the computer on moderate, you can beat the computer on hard, and be like, yeah, but this is a player who knows all the fucking cheese, you know, who knows how to tower rush, who knows how to do all this other shit, and has played against multiple people with multiple different factions and knows how to make this shit work for them. So what chance is somebody who's only played the game for, like, you know, on a competitive level, like 7 times, is gonna beat them? Like, I got really lucky. My first match I won, I did a scout rush and the guy just quit. I don't know why. Maybe I had to take a shit. I don't know. Maybe I outclassed him with my scout rush. I highly doubt that. But he quit. And I was like riding high. I was like, yeah. And then every game after that was just crushing defeat, crushing defeat, crushing defeat, crushing defeat. So it's just like, oh, I'm gonna stick to playing on the computer. And then my friend Toasted Flowers is like, hey man, like, because he plays 4. He played 4 with me when it came out. We played 4 a lot, and like a lot. And he's just like, why don't you get back into 4? It's just like, I kind of want to. Like, there's not as much races. Like, I like the way 2 handles. I like 2's economy. I like so many things about 2. Before, I already have a built-in friend who plays 4. I don't have that with 2. Most of the people who I try to convince to play AoE 2, like 2, they're like, why would I do that? 4's out. And then even some people are like, oh, what about AoE 3? Why don't you like AoE 2? And it's like, I was not a fan of 3. This wasn't for me. I remember that was my first introduction to the AoE platform, was AoE 3, and I immediately hated it. And then I got 2 because everyone's like, oh, that one sucks. And I loved 2. 2 was great. I would play against my friends. I would do like LAN things. I would never really play online. So, and you know, when you do like LAN shit with your friends, it's always like ridiculous, stupid strats. Like, oh yeah, we're all going to tower rush. It's like World of Warcraft. You just do stupid shit with your friends. So like going from like that atmosphere to like an actual like, oh, this guy wants to win. Like this guy actually is trying to like push my shit in, and like the eco boons and all that shit. There's a lot to learn for 2. So I'm at that point where I either have to adapt or I have to, you know, just continue to lose or switch over to 4. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do on that regard. I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, gaming for me, I was never big on battle royales. Like I would fuck a little bit with PUBG back in the day, but I never got into Fortnite. I played a few rounds of Fortnite and it just wasn't for me. I didn't like the art style. I didn't like the mechanics. I didn't like the building. Now that no build Fortnite's a thing, maybe I'll give it a shot, but just the battle royale aspect to me just seems kind of played out. It seems kind of like, oh, it's been around forever. Just kind of like first person shooters. Like I love first person shooters. It's dominated the genre for so fucking long. It's like, how long have we been all playing first person shooters? It's been a minute. I'm kind of ready for something new. So Diablo dropping, Dark and Darker dropping, oh, it's Medieval Tarkov. It's like, if that's what you want to call it, fine. Diablo, Dark and Darker, a brand new RTS like Stormgate, something like that is my hope list for 2023 when it comes to gaming, when it comes to interviews, and when it comes to like getting people on the show. So last live episode, I talked about all my episodes I did. I already touched on the 2 I've done this year. So the goal for this year is to continue on interviews, try to get people outside of the Tarkov community, try to pull them as well. You know, try to branch out, make this more of a functional, like, fully enveloped beast, not just one thing. Like, I used to get I got casters from CSGO. That was fun. I would like to get more casters, maybe from the Valorant scene, maybe from, like, the RTS scene. I'm sure there's a few people out there who'd be willing to talk about that. It'd be cool to get some people who, you know, who are on different podcasts. Like, I got the Squabbleheads from their show. That was really cool. Be really cool to get somebody from the gamer hole, like we already talked about. Like that's in the works, just got delayed due to personal reasons. That's fine. I'm still excited for that one. Maybe somebody from Forehead Fables if they're willing. I mean, hell, maybe even someone from Frag and Laggin if they're willing. It'd be cool to get people from different fucking realms who do the same thing to get their thought process, because the way I'm going to approach something as a solo host show is going to be so different from the way they have to approach that from people from a 2, 3 to 4 host setup. So yeah, that's pretty much the goal. Put out more episodes, record a live episode a week, even though it's not my favorite. Figure out this fucking OBS thing so I don't have this weird clipping shit going on with my green screen on the bottom and the top. Other than that, you know, that's pretty much it. It's gonna be a short stream today. You know, I didn't really prepare too much. We kind of got off on some random topics, talking about, you know, depression, talking about, you know, military bullshit stories, talking about like where the show is currently at, what I'd like to do with the show. What I would like to do is, I'm actually recorded one today with my friend Isaac from the military, is Warhammer 40,000. You know, the thing that's the tabletop game that's getting the show with Henry Cavill. They also have been writing books forever. You have 30 years of lore in books. And I've read a lot of these books, and I know my friend Isaac just started reading these books too. And the plan is, every week we're going to read a book. Or every 2 weeks, depending on how busy we are. We're going to read a book from the Warhammer series, and we're going to do a review. The first one we did will be in the episode after this. It's called Deliverance Lost. It's in the Horus Heresy time frame, and it's right after Istvan, when all that shit went down. So, if you're a fan of Warhammer 40,000, every time you look at episode description and it says Warhammer Talk, we're going to pretty much put the description of the book in there. So, when you see Warhammer Talks part whatever, followed by the title of a book, that means we're going to talk about that book in whole. And we're going to talk about everything from what happened in the book to the ending of the book. So there will be a spoiler alert in there probably before any of it starts. So if you have a problem with spoilers, or if you're like, oh my God, I listened to this whole thing and it spoiled it for me, you know, I'm sorry. Just forewarned, don't fucking listen to those if you don't want a book spoiled for you. If you've listened to the book or if you like those books, feel free. Just, you know, hop in and see what we had to say. You know, two completely different people's takes on something, it's always refreshing to get. Because if you only listen to the same person for every single thing, how boring would that fucking be? You know, it's like if you listen to the same podcast and only one podcast, it got a little boring. You know, you kind of have to spread your wings and get a different approach. It's like, you know, if you only hear one opinion from one community forever, maybe it's time to branch out and get a different one. Maybe that's my cue to step out of the Tarkov realm and start interviewing more people. I'm sure the Tarkov people, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of them that would be down for interview, but recently it's been a little harder to get interviews. I'm not sure if that's because everybody is so into wipe. I'm not sure if everyone started my bullshit. It could be a variety of different factors. It's kind of hard to put into terms, especially because I don't know a lot of them personally. But the ones I do know personally have become really good friends. So I'm just smelling my pot. It smells really good right now. I'm really looking forward to grinding this up and smoking it. That was a bad... Yeah, there's like a little bit left. You see that? Ooh, trees. So, with that said, we're shy of an hour, but that's okay. I think every now and again, having a short episode is not a bad thing, especially for live episodes where I don't exactly have talking points ready to go. So, from me and everybody, I say that like there's more than one person working at this fucking thing. From me, I'd just like to say thank you guys for going on this ride with me. We're not done yet. For episode 100, we're going to give away a keyboard. It looks like it's going to be a Logitech. The High Commander gave us a model number. I got to look that up. I got to buy it, and I got to get that ready for the giveaway. So episode 100, that'll be in about 20 so episodes, so keep an eye out for that. Other than that, I'm just going to have to say my stupid tagline of, why don't you go outside and touch and or smoke some grass? And we'll catch you next time on the comms.